This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervie. I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life as the music stops. And we love music. Today, we are going to be talking about music, which is really exciting to me, Carrie.
Yes.
Because later in the show, we have the singers-in-law.
Yay!
Not the mothers-in-law, not the fathers-in-law, but the singers-in-law.
Yay!
Who harmonize together to make people happy instead of what lawyers usually do, which is disagree and argue that make people unhappy. And you are an excellent singer.
Well,
I know I've
you.
Heard you.
Thank you.
And maybe because you're on Gervie's Law, Carrie Kasem, of course, welcome. I didn't say officially thanks for being my beautiful, wonderful co-host.
Thank you
You're
very much.
You're the second best-looking girl in the room
next
today.
Next to your mom.
Next to my mom, who's sitting here because it's her last week in L.A. She's going to go back to Toronto.
Right.
Why? It's cold. Stay for a little bit.
Oh, I have things to do, people to see.
Places to go.
Yeah. What's the song?
Yeah.
We're going to be singing. Actually, later in the show, we're going to talk about Bring Me Sunshine, which is a song that the singers-in-law sing, and we're going to hear that. That's going to be really exciting. They are lawyers who harmonize together, and I love that kind of music. Mom, you have to go home because you have season's tickets to the Toronto Symphony, right?
That's true, yes.
So you
I have
can't
some concerts coming up, and I don't want to miss them.
Yeah, you don't want to miss
I'll
them.
I'll come back again.
Well, you're always welcome. So stay tuned later in the show for that, and you know, maybe my mom will even sing, because you were in a choir, the Reese's Pieces Choir.
Yes.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
No, I've always been in choirs, but I don't have a wonderful voice. Your father had a nice voice.
Yes, he did. But you,
My husband.
I love that. I've always been in choirs, well,
but I don't have a wonderful voice.
But well, I put in a plug for Harry.
Yeah. the singers-in-law actually all have wonderful voices, and they sing, so that's like a double threat.
It's awesome.
You're a triple threat, Carrie. I know that.
Yeah,
singing, acting, and dancing.
I can dance, but I'm not a great dancer. I can dance really, really well with some things, but you give me choreography, it takes me double time to learn it.
Really?
Unfortunately.
I didn't know that, because you're such a quick study on everything.
Yeah.
I've watched you sing, and I know you've been taking more of the classes and everything, and
it's amazing. Thank you. Thanks, Alan. It's one of my passions.
If you ever get a chance to see Carrie sing, make sure you do that. And the singers-in-law are actually doing the national anthem for the LA Kings. Of course, this past week, the Kings beat my Winnipeg Jets in Winnipeg. We were all watching the game, weren't we, Mom?
We were. Very sad.
Yeah, it was very sad. No, for LA, it was good. They won it.
I'm sorry. Ex-Winnipegger.
The singers-in-law will be singing at the Staples Center. And, of course, KABC is the flagship station of the Kings, so we can't trash the Kings here, even though, you know, I'm a Winnipeg Jets fan. But I want the Kings to do well, and that's going to hopefully be a great season down the road. Before we get to the singers-in-law, we have some important issues to discuss, because there's been so much in the news now about what's gone on with the Me Too generation, the culture, the influences, and there's been a lot of changes that are taking place in the entertainment industry and in all industries. This past week, we heard Tur Dima Ussery, who was the Dallas Mavericks' former team president. He got himself into some trouble with inappropriate behavior. And he had a contract, obviously, with the Dallas Mavericks and other organizations that he worked for. And in these Hollywood contracts, we're seeing that people like Kevin Spacey got paid a lot of money, even though he was basically booted out from the last couple projects.
But he also didn't have that behavior on that project. He did it in his past, and he came clean, and he apologized. Not does not make any
right.
So you
right. think that does he not, should get paid from,
that was from
House
his,
of Cards yeah. and Gore Vidal movie?
Mm-hmm. If they're gonna kick him out from something he did in his past, he came clean, he apologized, then yes, absolutely they should pay him out for the rest of his contract.
Well, let's see.
He didn't do that during House of Cards, at least what I've read.
Well, Debbie, you're looking at Harper. She's sitting in the corner. Debbie Payne, of course, our producer, and my daughter Harper, my 4-year-old daughter.
She is so precious. She's in her little ballet tutu kind of like outfit. It's a crinoline. Crinoline, is that what they call it?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And the little pink shoes.
Maybe Harper will say hi later in the show. I'm babysitting.
So
this is my babysitting job today.
Yes.
So we're going to welcome the experts on this issue of morality clauses, whether moral turpitude is something that should be brought into Hollywood for distributors and for sales agents, producers. First, our guest is Skylar Moore, known as Sky. Sky Moore is a partner at Greenberg Glusker, one of the fine firms, entertainment firms in town. He is a deal maker. He works with complex high-value deals and specializes in a lot of different areas, including some tax law as well, as well as the entertainment transactions and litigation. And also on the phone, a former co-host. When you were gone, Carrie, we had another Carrie take your place. I don't even know if you knew this. You were traveling. Carrie Garvis Wright was on the show. She's a partner to the L.A. firm of Glaser Weil, Fink Howard, Afton and Shapiro, more well known as Glaser Weil, and she sat in very admirably for you, a Carrie of a different name.
There you go, Carrie of a different color.
with a Y instead of an I. And Carrie represents a number of entertainment clients as well and has worked with Patty Glaser, representing some of the most powerful players in the entertainment industry. She also has represented, and I think continues to represent, Harvey Weinstein in certain transactional issues and potential litigation. Sky Moore, Carrie Garvis Wright, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Welcome. Glad to be here. Thank you.
It's great to have you. Carrie, you there? If not, your voice is really low.
Yeah. Okay. Skylar Moore is here.
Yeah, I know that. I can tell. Carrie Garvis Wright.
Carrie with a Y. Can you hear me?
Carrie with the Y, we can hear you.
There you go.
So I'm going to start with you, Sky.
Hi, Carrie with an I.
Hi.
Sky, tell us about what's going on now. You're right in the middle of it. When you're doing these deals, are the distributors and some of the financiers insisting on having morality clauses to save money if one of these issues, the harassment, the bad behavior, so to speak, rear its ugly head? What are you dealing with now with morality clauses?
It's now become an issue because several clients have become burned by projects that just became useless because of attachment of one or more people that are just no longer acceptable. They just become, fire sales, and so clients have been badly burned, so we're now dealing with the issue. It apparently came up in the 20s with a gentleman named Fatty Arbuckle was accused of some horrendous crimes, and as a result of that, studios started introducing morality clauses, but I haven't seen them for years and years. But
we're now
adding it back.
Why is that? Because Fatty Arbuckle was back in 1921. He was arrested on rape and murder charges. And then, apparently, as time passed, the studios got away from it. Because if it was implemented, as most people think it should be, then they wouldn't have this issue today and, of course, this past year.
But in my radio contracts with, whether it was Clear Channel or, CBS, whatever, maybe there was always one. There was always a morality clause about what you can say, what you can't do, what's appropriate. So I don't know. Was it just for actors? They got away from it?
No. It's I bet in yours it's a very high standard. Like, generally, it is a crime. Up until now, the language that I've seen is a crime involving moral turpitude and not what's happened now is there's people that have not been accused of a crime, but have been accused of any number of things, and the statute may have run, and maybe it's just sexual harassment, maybe it doesn't rise to the level of a crime, but that's the language has become much more broad. So what's happened now is a much broader interpretation, like held in disrespect in the public eye, or public repugnance, or public ridicule. It's become not just the act itself, but how the public is perceiving it.
But isn't that subjective? You know, I want to bring Carrie into the conversation because, Sky, I think what you're saying, you know, has a lot of validity, but how do you enforce it, and isn't there a gray area? Carrie?
It's
Carrie with a Y?
Yes.
That's exactly right. You know, Carrie with an I is correct. Morality clauses have been around since the 20s. They haven't really gone anywhere. I think the problem is they haven't been enforced. And now, because of the likes of Harvey Weinstein, and we live in a post-Weinstein era, in a Me Too, a hashtag Me Too era, they're now being enforced. And now what I get concerned about is not only what you just mentioned, Alan, which is this a gray area, and is my employer or the studio or a distributor going to be the police and determine whether or not I've engaged in this conduct, as opposed to the stricter provisions that say, well, if you get charged with a crime, a felony, or if you're, you know, heaven forbid, convicted of a felony, now it's a grayer standard. But I'm concerned, too, that it's really just being added as window dressing, as cosmetics. We need to look like we are ahead of or in front of the hashtag Me movement, and it really isn't going to have the force and effect that it should have. And frankly, where I think the focus should be, if employers and studios, et cetera, are really concerned about this issue, is take a really close examination, close look at what their internal policies are.
Okay, Carrie,
let's make sure that we got to
take a quick break because we're up against the clock here.
You
know, I want Sky to respond to that because you said a lot, makes a lot of sense, but I think Sky probably will have something to say about that. So stay tuned to Gervie's Law. It's Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Geico presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno live on the scene of a recently flooded basement. Here to describe the event, a tube sock.
So I'm curled up in a cozy pile of whites when the washing machine suddenly starts shimmying and shaking. Next thing I know, we're standing in 4 inches of water.
Did you help clean up?
Sure, but I'm just one sock.
A tube sock can't help you with a flooded basement, but the Geico Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call Geico to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Geico presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno live on the scene of a recently flooded basement. Here to describe the event, a tube sock.
So I'm curled up in a cozy pile of whites when the washing machine suddenly starts shimmying and shaking. Next thing I know, we're standing in 4 inches of water.
Did you help clean up?
Sure, but I'm just one sock.
A tube sock can't help you with a flooded basement, but the Geico Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call Geico to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. Nice music, Jose. Thank you. I just want to listen to it. Harper's got her headphones on. She's listening, but I think she's watching YT Kids. She's not listening to the radio. She's not listening to the show.
She's not listening, to us at all.
How does she look? I can't see her down
there.
She's
so cute.
She's sitting there.
You know, her little legs are folded back, and she's got her hands kind of folded in her lap, and her head's cocked to the side
with
her pink little headphones on, watching TV.
And, of course, that's my mom, Harper, we're talking about. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with
you?
Your mom's sitting on the floor. Little pink headphones.
On the floor watching my cartoon. I'm happy.
That would have been really funny.
That's funny. Carrie, your face was hilarious when I said,
like,
my
what?
Mom. You described Harper, my four-year-old daughter, sitting on the floor so well. And then I said, my mom, who's sitting to the left. This is family hour here, family hour. We're talking to Sky Moore, who is a partner at Greenberg Glusker, and Carrie Garvis Wright, a partner at Glazer Weil, both very, very good law firms, great law firms, and they know their stuff about these Hollywood contracts. And we're talking about morality clauses. Before the break, Carrie mentioned Harvey Weinstein, and I think maybe that's one of the reasons why these clauses are becoming in vogue again in Hollywood. Carrie, just to clear the air and to be specific, because I mentioned that you have represented him, are you continuing to represent mm-hmm. Harvey Weinstein now?
My firm represents, Patty Glazer and I represent him in particular in connection with two matters. One is his claims against the Weinstein Company for his termination, which, I'm not going to talk, it's in arbitration.
Right.
And then we also filed an action in Delaware to have access to corporate books and records, and that, of course, is a matter of public record. So mm-hmm. we don't represent him in connection with any of the civil and certainly not any criminal matters that may be out there. But we were, front and center of it all happening. You know, I normally live at the intersection of entertainment law and employment law, and now this is where it's at. This is what I do all day, every day. It's
before the break, when I was listening to you talking about problems that you see with morality clauses, a lot of it had mm-hmm. to do with enforcement and interpretation. I remember I was a moral philosophy major at Brown University many years ago, and we talked about absolutism versus relativism when we looked at morals and ethics. And I was always on the side of relativism, saying that, there isn't necessarily an absolute moral code. And I want to turn to Sky, because when we talk about morality clauses, who is it who would be the arbiter, so to speak, or the judicial, quasi-judicial person who could interpret what morals are and what's bad and what isn't?
All right. There's two answers to that. What I draft is, the answer is, my client decides in their reasonable good faith judgment, my client being usually the production or distributor or financier, and there's a fairly well-developed case law in California as to what is required for a reasonable good faith investigation to terminate someone for a claim of sexual harassment. So we try to do that. If we get pushback from the other side, which we often do, we'll often back up to having it decided by an arbitrator. And we say that we define what the language is, we make it as broad as possible, and then we leave it to an arbitrator to decide.
Now, Carrie, you were talking about the fact that, it may not help, but my feeling is, if you have these really great morality clauses, that people won't overstep the bounds. They don't want to lose the money. They don't want to lose the project. It might stop people who do commit these crimes, I guess you could call them.
They're not crimes.
Well, they kind of are. some of them are. Let's just say some of them are. But they're immoral. Wouldn't it stop them from doing that? Wouldn't you have a lot of these people not paying out, let's say, like the Kevin Spaceys and things like that?
Well, we would hope so. I'm just afraid that in real world, and maybe that would be the case initially, right?
Yeah.
There would be this, oh my gosh, I've got to keep in lockstep. But look what happened in 1921, Fatty Arbuckle, the advent of these clauses apparently were enforced for some period of time thereafter, and then memories fade.
Sure.
I'm hoping in this day and age, and with this robust of a conversation about what's happening, that it will in fact do what it's supposed to do. But I think these provisions that say, look, if you engage in conduct that we deem immoral, I think that's a dangerous place to put studios, employers, et cetera.
Okay, well, you know, I wanted to follow up with Sky on that because he made that point, and I think it's a valid one. If he can get that in a contract, then, you know, all the power to the distributor, or the studio, or whoever. But, you know, we look at those of us who went to law school, we always remember Justice Potter Stewart, who defined pornography by saying this, right. I know it when I see it. Is that, Sky, what the distributors will be looking at with these morality clauses?
In a perfect world, yes.
Well, you know, when we think about where we draw the line, those are people who are making decisions who may have different moral codes. Portia de Rossi wrote a book called Unbearable Likeness. In it, she talked about examples of immorality clauses like drunkenness, arrests, and that sort of thing. And then she said, what about homosexuality? What if it comes out that someone is a homosexual and the distributor determines that that is going to be harmful for whatever reason to the project? Is that going to be grounds, for instance, to fire, to terminate a contract?
I don't think that ground would work anymore.
You know,
it sounds to me like the provisions that Sky is talking about, they're going to keep me in business because there's going to be a lot of litigation that arrives out of these. Because what is immoral and what qualifies under the contract and was good faith used? And now there used to be a spectrum from you look nice today in that dress to on the one end to on the other end, assault, which of course is, you know, the worst end, and now everything is being loaded into one bucket without any, you know, without any discernment. And so I think that does become a dangerous but fruitful ground for litigators, right?
True. I would agree with that. Hopefully, if the contract's worded carefully, though, it would, if it clearly gives the distributor the good faith, reasonable discretion to make the determination, and if the language is broad enough, I think it would that's the safest course for the distributor by far.
Are you getting any pushback, Sky, when now you try to implement these moral clauses?
A lot. Now, the trick is that when it comes to finance a film, the banks don't accept an out from the distributors with clauses like that. And so we definitely have issues with the banks, even if we get away with it in the distribution contract. And then you have more tricky situations with LLCs and partnerships where you're trying to terminate someone's interest in a partnership. And we absolutely get pushback on this. And the fallback is, again, arbitration, and where the carries of the world will have fun arguing the issues.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens in it. I think it's just in the fledgling stages. And like you say, Sky, we'll see what happens with the arbitrations and perhaps litigation in the future. I think, though, as a deterrent, perhaps people will look at it like, I'm going to lose a lot of money if I behave badly, but who knows if that's a motivator or not.
I'm going to agree with you. I understand what Carrie's saying, but I do think Fatty Arbuckle in 1921, women just got the right to vote in 1920, you know, so women were not really even considered equal then. Right now we're going for the, you know, equal pay, equal rights, equal everything. So I'm hoping it would stand, and I'm hoping now it wouldn't be forgotten in a few years later.
The problem is that often the actor has already been paid, and often the event occurred years ago.
Right.
I mean, if you look at what happened with Kevin Spacey, another whole issue is when does the event have to occur? With Kevin Spacey, it occurred years ago, and he's been paid, and so often the people were too involved, they don't care, it's too late, and the one who's in trouble is really the production company trying to sell a film.
Well, maybe they should have to pay Kevin Spacey. Should have to pay that money back.
But it doesn't make sense. I don't agree with that. He didn't do it on the set. He didn't do it on House of Cards. This was many, many years ago. He said sorry. He apologized. Doesn't make it right. Does not make it right.
Well, I take the side of the women who were victims. I'm always the victim's rights attorney here. So I want to ask you, too, because we have two experts on the subject, and we only have a couple more minutes. So if you could briefly tell us about the new tax bill. It makes sexual harassment settlements subject to NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, not deductible. Carrie, what, with a Y, What effect is that going to have with NDAs and taxes?
Well, I actually think that has a lot of teeth. And I think, look, I'm no tax lawyer, and people who do practice tax law, there's always a loophole, right? But I think, first of all, that that's not getting enough attention. But I think if it does get the attention of those who are entering into the types of contracts that we're talking about now, I think that's going to have a lot of teeth, because NDAs is really, I think that's becoming the focus of the discussion now, the silencing of people, and this provision goes directly to that. You can go ahead and settle sexual harassment claims, and in fact, you know, oftentimes resolution of claims is generally a good thing.
But that
right?
That can have a huge effect on the money, the taxes. Sky, who would want to do that? You have to balance the interests here.
I am a tax lawyer, and so I will tell you that in the current tax environment. Okay, in the current tax environment where the corporate rate is 21%, the truth is most corporations won't care, and it'll be more important for them to have an NDA than it will be to not be able to deduct it at only a 21% tax rate. So the truth is it's not going to have much of an impact on this.
And I absolutely agree with that. I'm glad you said it as an expert. I'm not, but when you look at the tax rate and you look at all the funny business that corporations do to zero out their taxes, they're not going to worry about it for 1 minute. They're going to make sure the NDA is so much more important in the public eye, and to make sure that they maintain their respectability and not, like, you know, who was it? Was it Bill O'Reilly? How many millions were paid out on that?
Yeah.
Does anyone know?
Yeah. Lots of zeros. Lots of zeros.
Yeah. All right. But, you know, so that I think that's going to be the last word. I want to thank both Sky Moore from Greenberg Glasker and Carrie Garvis Wright from Glaser Weil. You guys make a great debate team, and you bring out the issues here, and we'll see what happens as we move forward. Thanks for being on Gervie's Law.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Cheers. Well, we are going to take a break now. And when we come back, we're going to talk to the Singers in Law. You don't want to miss it. They have great voices. And we're going to learn about how you can sing and be a lawyer and still have a good time. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Hello, I'd like to deposit this to checking.
Fate is a fickle master.
What?
The future is uncertain.
Okay, and what's my account balance?
Ah, the horizon is cloudy. I see a long, treacherous voyage filled with great peril.
Look, can I just get a deposit slip or something?
A fortune bank teller. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to GEICO.
I see a yellow-eyed serpent.
What?
And a low APR.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
They say, want a new wireless plan? Gotta buy a new phone. At Simple Mobile, we say, just bring your own phone. Then pop in a Simple Mobile SIM card and boom. You've got 30-day unlimited plans starting at just $25 with nationwide coverage on a lightning-fast 4G LTE network. All with no contract. You can keep it complicated. Or you can mobile simple with Simple Mobile.
Available nationwide at Best Buy, Simple Mobile dealers, and authorized retailers. See the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Democrats have released their rebuttal to the Republican memo, which allegedly showed surveillance abuses by the FBI in the Russian election meddling investigation. Correspondent Boris Sanchez has part of a statement from the White House.
Quote, while the Democrats' memorandum attempts to undercut the president politically, the president supported its release in the interest of transparency. Nevertheless, this politically driven document fails to answer serious concerns raised by the majority's memorandum about the use of partisan opposition research from one candidate loaded with uncorroborated allegations as a basis to ask a court to approve surveillance of a former associate of another candidate at the height of a presidential campaign.
KABC SoCal weather continued sunny this afternoon with highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s and westerly winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with lows in the upper 30s to mid-40s, except around 50 in the hills. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sunshine in your smile. Make me happy all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy we can give to each brand new bright tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
That's
I am
really
so
awesome.
Happy. I just have to listen to it and it just gets me happy, Carrie. I have to find out who sings that song.
I think you know.
I don't.
Oh, well, that's a lie.
I've never lied. I'm a lawyer. Darn it. Well, that was the Singers in Law. They are amazing, and I love that kind of music. They really are, you know, they give lawyers a good name because we often have a bad name, us lawyers, not you, Carrie, because you're not a lawyer, but we are always arguing and we're fighting. And I just came from my office, you know, yesterday I had this huge fight and I needed to, you know, calm down because this lawyer was being really mean and rude. And here are lawyers doing a good thing. We had Gary Green on the show not too long ago, and he was someone who had started the Philharmonic and the voices and the music and the jazz. And now we have the Singers in Law. And I want to welcome to Gervie's Law, right in front of me, Linda Hurwitz and John Bloomberg. Linda Hurwitz is an alto?
I'm an alto.
Wow. That's amazing. And John Bloomberg is the tenor. No, I'm kidding. What are you?
I'm the bass.
I know you're the bass. You have a great voice. And you were a radio host.
Years ago.
You're so comfortable here on Gervie's Law with the mic in front of you. And on the phone, we have the third and fourth members of Singers in Law. We have Ken Freundlich and
Hello.
Barbara Hi. Gilbert. Hi, Ken.
How you do?
I'm doing
I'm
great.
I'm the bass. I mean the tenor.
You're the tenor. And what about what about Barbara? Soprano,
Hi.
I bet.
I'm the last one, the soprano, of course.
Oh, that voice gives it away.
Yeah, very high. But I've heard people with low voices that are singing soprano and coloraturas.
Really?
Yeah.
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 It's,
right.
It's amazing. John, tell us how this group got together, because it's really an interesting, a bunch of lawyers. Now, you are a medical and legal malpractice, a plaintiff's attorney.
Right.
And obviously love music, love singing. How did you get involved?
Well, the first question is, you know, how did the group get together? We were four singers that were kind of thrown together because we were singing with the legal voices of the Los Angeles Lawyers Philharmonic. And we all came together and we had the opportunity to sing one or two songs for a performance.
Yeah.
And we did. And we enjoyed working together so much that we said, why don't we do this more? And that was 5 years ago. And there's been a lot of more since then.
And Linda, were you involved with the Legal Voices as well?
I still am.
You still are?
7 years. I'm one of the original founding chorus members.
Wow. Congratulations on that. And you are an attorney who represent companies. You on the management side for disability claims and whistleblower and sexual harassment and those type of things?
I do.
Wow.
I do. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
And she looks it. I just have to tell people. She's got this, like, awesome haircut, short haircut. It's purple, bright blue eyes. I mean, if there's somebody doing this kind of work, I mean, she fits it. It's
you know,
awesome.
If I'm in court and I run up against Linda, I am happy. As soon as I see her, I said, I don't have one of these stuffy shirt attorneys.
No.
I've got the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lawyer.
And she is.
So when awesome. You guys got together, Linda, tell us how you decided that you were going to make something of it. You weren't just going to go into a basement and sing.
It sort of evolved. We were waiting to go on stage at Disney Hall, the choir, with the L.A. Lawyers Philharmonic. And Ken walked up to me out of the blue, hadn't really ever talked to him, and he started singing. So I started singing with him. And we looked at each other and we said, we need to sing together. And John was in the choir. I think he was in the choir at the time because I remember his voice. And
it's a hard voice to forget.
That's right. And then we met Barbara through Disney Hall because she was performing at Disney Hall as well with us.
And I was in the choir at that time as well.
Oh, you okay? See, yeah. I don't even remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we just said, well, let's just get together. And we all got together one day and started, and we rehearsed and started working on material. And then one day we said, well, let's do a salon, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And we invited a group of people over to Barbara's house, which wound up being about 70 people.
Wow.
And we did a concert for them, and we had so much fun. We said, we got to keep this going.
Yeah, and you have. And you are going to be singing the national anthem at the Kings game. Ken, when are you singing that?
That's March 1st.
March 1st. Who's playing? We're the flagship station right here, KBC, home of the Los Angeles
I'm
Kings.
I'm supposed to know that.
Well, you should.
I'll tell you what, I promise I'll know that by the end of this broadcast.
Okay, well, I'm going to the Kings game on Monday night. So I know that that's not when you're performing. I would love to go to see you because I happen to love the performance. And if it's a Canadian team, then you've got to sing the Canadian national anthem. Have you?
No.
They haven't told you that?
They did not ask us.
No.
The Columbus Blue Jackets.
Oh, so you don't get to sing O Canada? O Canada.
I don't think they would anyways.
Home and native land. Mom, can you sing it? In French. Okay. Oh, we won't sing. So, Ken, I got to talk to you for a second, man to man here. I'm going to say a few names. You tell me what we have in common. Hijinks, Jabberwocks, Brown Derbies, Chatter Talks, Rockapella, Sean Altman.
You went to Brown and you were there around 1980.
Yeah, 84 actually.
Do we know each other?
I don't think we met. Well, I did know Sean Altman. You must know Sean Altman.
Sean is one of my closest friends. In fact, I was talking to him yesterday.
No way.
And I was in the Hijinks from 77 to 81, sort of the formative years of Rockapella. Sean got us to wear all these weird colored pants and stuff.
Right, I remember
that. And then we all graduated, and Sean and Elliot, who Elliot was in my class, Sean was two classes behind me. I was 81.
Yeah, he was 83.
And we all went to New York City, and I made the choice to go to law school, and they started singing. I think I sang with them on a cruise around New York once, and then Carmen Sandiego happened, and they got famous.
For those of you who don't know, Rockapella was where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? That was them. Yeah. And you weren't with them at that time. You were studying hard at law school.
I was already a lawyer by then, I think, but I did, you know, I lived in New York for a long time, so I stayed very close to them. I might have represented them on a couple things at the beginning, and I've stayed representing Sean on various things.
What's he doing? What's Sean doing now?
Sean has four different hats he wears. He is Jumongous.
Yeah, Jumongous.
He is the Everly set. He does an Everly Brothers set. He is the Groove Barbers. And he's Sean Altman, just Sean Altman.
Sean Altman with,
I
think he's
got a kid.
I
missed one.
Yeah, no, wow. He's a very talented guy. I back in the day, I loved listening to him. And, yeah, you guys were great. the Hijinks, Jabberwock, all those a cappella groups at Brown were amazing, and that's a great training ground. Now, I just want to ask you, Barbara, now you have a little different background. Now, you are married to the presiding justice of the Second District, Division 6 of the California Court of Appeals, and he's piano player for the Singers in Law. How does that happen?
And his group is called the Just Us Quartet.
Just ask. That's a questions
wait,
one.
Wait, hold on. Okay, so everybody here seems like they're in. Okay, hold on a second. So are you two married to anybody that like lawyers or justices or anything like that?
I'm married to an actress.
Oh,
I'm married to a musician composer.
Okay, and so who's playing the ukulele?
That is Bill Ryan, who is
No, the ukulele on the recording is Eric Sylvester. He's an old friend of mine.
Okay.
From if you're talking about the recording of Bring Me Sunshine, that's Eric. Eric lives up north, and he specializes in Hawaiian ukulele. He's also a lawyer.
Okay.
Really?
So, all right.
We needed to bring in a ringer for that particular song, and it was like, well, who plays the ukulele?
All right,
And Ken knows everybody, and he says, I can get a ringer in here who plays
he's
ukulele.
He's great. So what other places have you played or are you looking forward to play?
Well, we've been doing Vitello's every year up in Studio City.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And we do a lot of events with Gary Green's big band of barristers. So when the big band performs, we are the singers. We also do a lot of charity events, bar-related events.
City of Hope.
We did the City of Hope a few times.
Yeah.
Right.
We did a group called Essentia. It's a
that's in Glendale.
They're in Glendale. They raise money to fight homelessness, and we did an event for them in the ticket room of Union Station, and the whole theme was 40s, and it was a fabulous event.
And Barbara, tell us what kind of music, because, you know, I know a lot of the listeners want to come out and see. They're not just going to go to the Kings game to watch you sing the national anthem, although they should. But what kind of music are you playing and singing?
We are doing a lot of the American Songbook in four-part harmony arrangements, which Jerry Ranger arranges. We do stuff from the 40s. We do a little bit of, not too much Latin, but there have been a few of those kinds of numbers. And some even show tunes that work in, you know, that can be worked for a four-part harmony group. So it's quite thrilling, and it's something unusual for me because I started out being a classical singer. So I've evolved to something that I love more, you know, that I've always wanted to do. So That's
how do you all have the time? I mean, I know with my schedule, yeah, I do this radio show, but I'm a full-time lawyer. How do you guys do it?
Well, I can answer that. If you, and you know very well, the law will eat you up. It'll eat every minute of your time.
I'm eaten up.
And so if you don't make time, there won't be time.
That's
right. And so we've just all decided that no matter how busy we are, and we're really busy, we need to make time for this, and so we carve out time to do this.
You know, it's passion too. For me, I when I stopped singing, there was a hole in me. And it was many, many years. I'm talking 20 years. I stopped singing. I was a singer all through, you know, high school, college, sang in some musicals, and then I just stopped singing. And then last year I picked it up again. And it's amazing.
Well, and actually this is how we ended up getting together, because all of us in our past had done professional singing. Linda had been a band singer. I'd gotten my bachelor's degree in music and voice. Ken had done the, all the singing and everything at Brown.
Yes, he had.
Right. And I did synagogues and other shows that paid.
So after a passage of many years, we all just had a hunger to start doing it again.
It's amazing, and I really want to. I mean, I love the music. I want to come and see you perform. Where is your next gig other than the Kings game on March 1st?
I can't quite announce that one yet.
I stumped
you. We've got a very big one in the works.
Big
one in the works.
And how do people get to learn? Now, you have a mailing list, or do you have the website? Because it's a great website.
We have a website. So we also have a mailing list. And that's
so
how we keep
can
in
we
touch
hear what
with
they
people.
Are? Don't keep it a secret.
Well, the website is singersinlaw.com.
Yes. Singers.
And to get on our mailing list, you could go to the website
right.
and ask to be added to the mailing list.
And that's a great way to do it.
Correct.
It's Singers in Law, singersinlaw.com. Check them out. Listen to them. Really doing a great job for lawyers, representing lawyers and our industry so well, not arguing, but bringing harmony together, making people happy. Ken, thank you for calling in. I know you couldn't make it here today. And Barbara, we appreciate it. And, of course, Linda here in studio and John here in studio, thanks for being on Gervie's Law. We appreciate it. We'd love to have you back and maybe come in and sing and do a
yes,
whole concert
live,
for our show
live.
Live.
Yes.
That would be great.
That would be so fun.
We would love to do that.
We'll be here.
Oh, we got it. It's a contract, and we're not even going to ask them to sign a morality contract. Mom, you want to say something?
Fly in.
She's going to fly in from Canada to hear it. All right, we got one more short segment. Stay tuned. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Tomorrow, make me happy.
Make me happy.
Through the year.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and get instant gold status, you'll save on every fill, every day.
But you'll feel like you just woke up to the news that your birthday was declared a national holiday.
That's what it feels like to have gold status with the Fuel Rewards program at Shell. With gold status, you'll save 5 cents with every gallon from the first fill. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
I'm just going to sing this song. Jose, how do you know I'm such a huge Green Day fan? Who told you? Harper? What's your favorite band? Green Day? Say Green Day loud.
Green Day.
Yeah, Green Day. That's my favorite band. Does Daddy listen to Green Day all day long? Remember that t-shirt I have?
Yeah.
It's, what does the t-shirt say? It says, I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to Green Day in my head. But I listen to you. Don't I listen to you when you talk? Have you had fun today at the radio station?
Yeah.
Yeah, what were you doing?
Watching.
What were you watching?
Mighty Kids.
You were watching YT Kids. What about the show? You weren't watching us? You weren't watching your grandmother on the show and Carrie?
No.
You were watching YT Kids? What was on YT Kids?
Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol.
Paw
one
Patrol.
Of my favorites. Carrie, you watch Paw Patrol?
You know, YT Kids is one of my favorites. I can't get enough of it.
Mom, you watching YT Kids?
All the time.
Yeah. We both me and your mom, we get together. We get the popcorn going.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun.
And it's
fun.
YT Kids.
It's great.
Yeah, Paw Patrol. Right?
Heart,
yeah.
I look forward to it all
the
time.
Yeah, me too.
Harp, you like popcorn? Is that Paw Patrol? You like popcorn, right? Yeah. Did you go to a movie recently? What movie did you see?
Paddington.
How was it?
Good.
Yeah, you liked it? Did you have a lot of popcorn? I saw a lot of popcorn on the floor. Did you spill most of your popcorn?
Yeah, and on my seat.
On your seat, yeah.
Oh, no.
Did any of it go in your mouth?
Yeah.
Some of it? You liked that movie, didn't you? Where's your brother Hudson today?
He's at someone's house.
What's he doing?
Having a play date.
Play date. At Nicholas's house, right? And where are we going? Are you going to go out for dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Carrie, we were talking to the singers-in-law. I keep on calling them sisters-in-law. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have a couple sisters-in-law. actually, one. They were saying how they got the gig at the Kings game. Isn't that funny? You talked about just coincidental.
Like, they said it was serendipitous, and it was. I mean, just absolutely out of the blue, they decide they're going to go hiking in January to the Grand Canyon, and they meet the owner of the Kings, not knowing it, just talking, and then finally they figure it out, and one of the guys, I think it was Ken, says, hey, we want to sing at the Kings game.
And, of course, Phil Anschutz said, of course, it's done.
And
his
a few weeks later...
Phil Anschutz, the owner of the Kings, and I actually met Phil Anschutz many years ago. We were doing a project together called Arena, which was a television show based on the Staples Center, but it never went very far. Mom, so you're getting ready to go home.
I am.
And back to Toronto.
Right.
Have you had a good time?
It's been great having the family, being with family and my grandchildren and my son and daughter.
And everyone.
Everyone.
Has it been good having her here? Are you nodding? You can't nod in radio. You have to say loud, yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. So, you know, the thing about it is that we only get the opportunity, Mom, to have you here for a couple weeks during the year.
Right.
And last week, you, of course, were on talking with Jesse, who was Carrie's.
Oh, yeah. That video went viral of you two dancing in the studio. Yeah, I put it up everywhere.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Completely. Oh. Yeah. Thousands of hits.
See? You're a star. You are an absolute
star.
And Carrie,
yes.
I have to ask you because, you know, Jesse was a big hit on the show.
Oh.
And will he ever come back on Gervie's
Law? He loves you, so he'll come back anytime you ask him.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you hear that? Did you hear that, Harper? Jesse's going to come back.
Oh,
do you remember the man with the yellow hat at Hudson's birthday party? Was he a good-looking guy?
Yeah, she says yes.
You can't nod. You can't nod. You have to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Are you tired? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're gonna be closing out soon. So you'll get. What are you gonna eat for dinner tonight?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Every kid is supposed to say macaroni and cheese. I still say that. It's
really?
Horrible. And it's so bad for you and awful. And the worst junk you can put in, but at least mine's gluten-free and with diet cheese.
I'm going to have steak.
There you go.
You can have your macaroni and cheese.
My gluten-free diet macaroni and cheese. People right now are not. I just really, they're like a little late. I think a little throw up came up in their mouth. I'm telling you, I tell people about what I eat and they're like, oh, and then they taste it. It's not so bad.
Mom, you want to taste it?
No.
No?
No.
You're sticking with your steak tonight.
Yeah.
Do you want to give a plug to where we're going? Harper? Okay, you want to give a plug. Okay, what's the... it's called Mastro's. Can you say that?
Mastro's.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Wow, I think you're going to be the new host. Harper, do you want to be the host of the radio show? You have to speak. Yeah? What would you do if you were the host? What would you say? You'd say, I'm Harper Gervie. Say that.
I'm Harper Gervie.
And this is Gervie's Law.
And this is Gervie's Law.
There you go.
And we are here every week on Saturday at 2 p.m.
And we are every week at 2 p.m.
And check us out on Facebook.
And check us out on Facebook.
And go to Gervie's Law to find all the podcasts from the last 4 years with everyone.
And go to the podcast for the last 4 years with everyone.
Oh, that was great.
Wow, impressive.
That was very good.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to close it out. Mom, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Come back anytime. I know you love the singers-in-law because you love music.
True.
As do you.
My maiden name was Mozart, so I should.
Oh, no way. Yep. Really?
Didn't you know that?
No.
Evelyn Mozart?
Yep.
That's me.
That's
Mozart.
An amazing name.
He's the famous composer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wolfgang Amadeus.
From Mozart to Green Day, that's going to do it. We ran the gamut. We'll see you next week right here on Gervie's Law. Say bye-bye, Harp.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.